Ready to move to LA now, Brian Windhorst?
Everybody assumes I am.
I'm still campaigning. I haven't given up. Think about how much easier your life would be. Should we discuss that on the pod?
I would love to.
I just want to put my hand up. I'm only about staying about 20, 25 minutes.
So. All right, I guess so. Andrew, home, I'll take it home. I don't care. Hello, welcome to a special edition.
If you have to ask, it's not a very good one.
I wish I was a good impressionist.
I thought that was lovely. He's just being
difficult. That's what I'm looking for, is lovely. Special edition. In LA, something happened in LA today?
Does Lance Stevenson ring a bell?
Yes, that's the big news.
Oh,
big
man.
We're
in the studio. I'm with Andrew Hahn. He's the star of this podcast. And we're in person. Star of the Hop.
We're going to talk about the Hop later. Don't think we're not going to talk about the Hop.
We've got Rachel Nichols and Amin Al-Hassan. Lots of new Lakers today.
Oh boy, that's one way to put it.
So we did a jump special, free agency special.
Today's Sunday,
and I think
a day we're typically not here.
Before we started the show, should I say who
say
called
it.
Me?
Say it, because I'm going to ask you about it.
Should I say who called me?
Yes.
Who's?
Oh, I got more information on this, so you can say
who's one of. There's like four people who knew what was going on with LeBron, and he was one of them, maybe five. And he called, like, I would say about an hour and a half before we went to air. And he goes, what time are you guys on the air? And I told him, 7 to 8 Eastern. He goes, okay, good to know. Talk to you later. And I swear to God, at 8:02 Eastern.
He called me after. He said the reason he wanted to know is he wanted it to break live on the air. The plan was... I don't know what the plan was. The plan, I don't know what the plan was. The plan centered around LeBron. The plan did not center around the jump. I want to make that clear. But he thought it would break while we were live on the air. And he ribbed me a little bit about the fact that he would have loved to see you and I scramble in real time to this news. And that a phone call that had to happen before the press release could come out. They were looking for someone on the phone. They could not find that person on the phone.
It took
20 minutes to find that person on the phone. Because of that, it came out at 5:03 or 8:03.
Why is so hard to get a hold of?
You know, that's like the coda to that story.
You're famous from Hate Hard, where you made that face. Okay, good information, Rach. So LeBron's a Laker. Kind of knew it for a few days.
Yes. I mean, look, I think this is actually interesting and speaks to, I don't know whether it was PR and intentional, and I'm curious to get your guys' take on that. The way this gestated, I don't think it could be a shock for anyone in Cleveland. Whereas when he left in 2010, while you, on ancient Twitter, as we keep joking, were actually tweeting out that he was going to Miami at noon that day, I think most people in Cleveland found out that he was leaving the Cavaliers by watching live television.
Made it the worst.
And
yeah.
For a lot of people, it felt like a shock. If you were a Cavaliers fan and you were paying the slightest bit of attention to the basketball news of the past week, you can't say it was a shock that he was leaving. And finding out, sort of having it unfold slowly, he could go to the Lakers, but he could stay. Gee, he might go to the Lakers. Maybe he'd stay, though. Oh, well, he opted out, but that could mean he'd re-sign another deal. But wow, everyone's saying he's going to the Lakers until, you know, we said on the jump, I would say Thursday and Friday, with pretty much as much certainty as you could get of saying, hey, anyone can change their mind at the last minute, but he's coming to LA unless there's a change of heart. So I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if that's just the way reporting gets done in this era and news really can't be a shock or a surprise the way it was 8 years ago. But I think it had the benefit, intentional or not, of while Cleveland fans are probably still not thrilled with this news, they were prepared for it.
My thoughts go back to game four and just the mood in the building, the mood of everyone at every bar spilling out, to on Euclid and all those streets down there in downtown Cleveland. And it wasn't sadness like it had been in previous years when they lost. It was kind of grim resignation. And along with that, appreciation, right? The idea that when he checked out for the last time, there was that thank you kind of, not a, oh, is he going to leave? Is this the last time we're going to see him? It was like, no.
It was a decent ovation. It wasn't, of course, they were getting their butts kicked.
Yeah. But it was people didn't leave. That's one. They didn't file out.
Right.
They waited and they express, I think he wants a candid shot, by the way. Rachel is trying to pose while Andrew's taking a candid
because
shot.
Because unlike the two of you, I'm wearing a skirt.
Oh, well.
And there's only...
It's early in the evening.
He's not from paparazzi.
That's true. You could be wearing a skirt later on. We'll see. I want to make sure that a picture I would be comfortable with on the internet
fine.
Is going on the
fair
internet.
Fair point.
But yeah, so I think the Cleveland side of this story is not shocked. They're sad, of course, but they're not shocked. And I don't think there's anywhere near the vitriol that...
Well, they've got a banner hanging there.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, that's...
Here's a question we talked about the other day, and I'm kind of curious for your guys' take. When the float was, hey, he's going to go team up with Paul George on the Lakers, and then for a few days it was like, well, he's probably not going to... Paul George, you know, rumblings are he's going to stay in Oklahoma City, but... Man, they could really try to go after Kawhi and get Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James on the Lakers. The fact that that is not happening, we'll get into from a LeBron side why he felt like this was his own decision to make and he didn't need one of those guys to commit because this was a longer-term play. But from a Cavaliers fan side, since that's just sort of where we started, how do you feel, Brian, if he wasn't leaving to go to win a title this coming year and he's not leaving for a roster that... You could certainly parse it and say, okay, this Lakers roster is
a little more promising. It's changing by the minute.
Right, is a little more promising than the Cavs roster he's leaving. But it's not like you can say black and white, man, this Lakers roster is so much better than the Cavs roster. In many ways, he was leaving to leave. He was leaving to move on to a different kind of life. And we'll get into, and he's, by the way, completely allowed to do that.
Right,
he's a grown man who's played out his contract. But I'm curious, because you grew up there and certainly talked to people, what's sort of the feeling when he's leaving this way?
Well, this was a drip, drip, drip. It hurts. It's going to hurt for him, for Cavs fans, that he went to the Lakers, because it's the antithesis of Cleveland, right? And one of the things about LeBron was how much he brought to Cleveland, and he sort of...
And repped Northeast Ohio.
Sure.
Always said, I'm the kid
land.
From Akron.
Yeah,
I went to China with him, I don't know, 5 years ago at this point, and he kept saying everywhere we went, in these crazy cities, he was saying, they know I'm from Akron. They know I'm from Akron, Ohio. It was so cool to him that these people in China knew Akron, Ohio because of him.
Yeah, and he will continue to do that.
Yeah, that doesn't change. Yeah.
But... you know, to come to LA, it's again, it's just it's quite different.
What's the unspoken thing you're not
saying?
Well,
it's a jealousy. It's a you know, Cleveland gets crapped on all the time.
People listening to the podcast see Brian Windhorst glaring at a man after that sentence?
You know,
I'll miss the flats.
And there are fair reasons for it, but you know, you get tired of it after a while.
Sure.
I mean, listen, I'm a realist.
I like Cleveland, Ohio. I'm gonna just put that out there. I spent a lot of my life there.
4 years ago was trying to convince me, or was it 4 or 3 years
yeah.
ago, that the best sushi place you'd ever been to was in Cleveland, Ohio.
So that's not true. That's just flat out.
It was you and Coach Scott. You guys.
We were saying it was very good. There's a big difference. I've been to Japan, my friend. But I will say, we go where the story is, right? You started covering LeBron earlier than anyone in this gathering, but I first had an interview with him when he was a senior in high school and went back all those years for those first 7 years in Cleveland and then again for the last four, and I liked being there.
Can I offer a non-glitz and glamour of Hollywood answer to that question? Mm-hmm. Why, if he's not going to a super team, why would he leave Cleveland to go to a team that's not appreciably better? And I would say the word of the day is wherewithal. They got the wherewithal to get better.
For sure.
The Cavs do not.
I would use the word upward mobility.
Yes, there you go. Upward mobility. I think that's a big part of it. I think another part of it is, and this is the weird thing, is 8 years ago, LeBron James fundamentally changed the way we think about free agency by having more agency in that free agency, right? Saying, I'm going to choose where I'm going to go, and I'm going to choose who comes with me, right? And then 4 years ago, he made us, again, reconsider what security meant, right? Prior to 4 years ago, security was, give me the longest possible deal with the most possible money. And all of a sudden, he came along and said, no, I want short deals. The security isn't in securing it long term. The security is in the freedom and the flexibility to make things happen for myself. And by that token, to pressure those who quote unquote employ me to always be working to make me happy. And what we saw this summer, which is weird, this had happened 8 years ago, we would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. But because he kind of reverted back to conventional free agency, give me a long term deal and give me a place where we can have a chance to get better, not necessarily ready right now. That's normal free agency. But because he made us change the way we look at everything, today we're like, what do you mean 4 years? The Lakers don't even have anybody. It's weird. It's upside down.
That 4 years part. Like, I get why he did it. But
That's the other slap in the face to Cleveland.
That's a slap in the face, not to Cleveland, the city. It's a slap in the face to one person.
Yeah.
It's Dan Gilbert. I don't trust you. I trust Mickey because I gave Mickey 6 years. Mickey and Pat Riley, I gave him 6 years, but really four, right? And I trust Jeannie and Magic and Rob. I don't trust you, Dan Gilbert. And by the way, given the circumstances of why he came back and how he came back, why should he have?
Well, it's funny. Brian and I just got off of how many hours straight of television, as we record this podcast. So I'm going to inappropriately, I can't credit who said this, but apparently on Saturday night, when Magic and LeBron spoke after free agency opened here in California at 9 p.m., was the first time they had been alone in a room together, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that he would then sign 4 years of his life, well, 3 years and an option, to a guy who he had been alone in a room with once, as opposed to the Cavaliers, is interesting. And it speaks to me, not in terms of, yes, your points about Dan Gilbert, absolutely, mm-hmm. and that's a long history, and we've all talked about it. I'm sure we can talk about it more. But speaks to the power of the Lakers, the power of Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. I have been in a room with Magic Johnson when he's trying to deliver something, and I promise you, TV does not do it justice.
He makes a lot of money going around the country speaking.
Right, and just I'm not making the comparison in a larger sense, only in this particular sense of being able to speak to a group or being able to speak to someone he wants to convince to do something. He has that old Bill Clinton thing of he connects with every person in the room, he makes them think they're the only person in the room, he lights everybody up. Mm. It is fantastic. I also think it's a credit to Jeannie Buss, and it goes back to something from years ago when she signed that last contract with Kobe Bryant. And obviously her brother was involved and Mitch was involved, but she was the driving force in saying, no, this is how we treat stars in the Lakers. I want him to have that huge deal. Everyone knew, injury-wise, he wasn't going to be the same player. Everyone knew that it would handcuff the organization. It was very important to her that the message was sent, this is the way the Lakers treat our stars and the greats of the game. And I think that that had to affect this also.
You know what's funny is that Magic Johnson and Dan Gilbert have done a lot of business together.
Yeah.
Because they're
Michigan guys.
In Michigan and charity work too. But there was Quicken Loans business. I mean, this Michigan State connection there.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. I think Magic, but I also think beyond Magic, there was a lot of things that were drawing him here. I don't want to make it sound like it was just Magic. Yeah.
No. I'm just, when you're making the comparison about Dan Gilbert
right.
and everything,
well,
I just think it's interesting where the trust comes from. And by the way, at the beginning when we were talking about this, I wasn't saying, gee, I wonder why he left for the Lakers. We've talked about it a lot. I know all the reasons he left for the Lakers. I was just asking
from a Cleveland perspective, where
we go.
All of this is the context, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you started this by saying none of us were surprised he went to L.A. But I think when you look at the context, four-year deal, and not necessarily with guys hooking arms with him on the side, well, off to see the Wizards.
Well, there were a couple guys.
Can we get to that part of the pod?
We definitely have a straw man there. Scarecrow. We definitely have a scarecrow.
Can we get to that? Because I both have to go.
Real quick. I really don't think it's fair to just say it was Dan Gilbert's fault. Some people will. I think the relationship with Dan Gilbert and the lack of trust, which both of them bear some responsibility for,
led to different sides of contracts.
Most of it is on Dan's side, but LeBron bears some responsibility. It was a contributing factor, but I don't think it's fair.
Can I ask Brian, what is your opinions every time I can't speak to the veracity, but every time over this process we get little leaks here and there about Dan Gilbert, quote unquote, looking forward to the post LeBron era, or what is your reaction when you see those things, which are obviously news aggregators and probably taken out of context and remixing?
So it was my feel that Dan felt that at one point he would like to build a team. He would like to have control over the team and have a typical owner, front office player relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that has been expressed. I expressed it on this podcast. It became aggregated. And the Cavs and Dan Gilbert went ape over it. And I basically had to clarify that was my opinion, but it was an informed opinion by secondhand hearsay.
Right.
And then Stephen A. this week basically said essentially what I had heard.
Right.
But I also think this. I don't think Dan Gilbert wanted LeBron to leave now. I think at some point people have this dream of like the Boston Celtics, the way Brad Stevens do it. I've talked to coaches who've done this. They want to come in and they want to have
This is my part, right?
They want to have a 9-year contract and they want to draft guys and bring them in and sing Kumbaya and grow them up and, you know, hey, we won 21 games this year. It's okay, guys. Next year we'll win 27. And this beautiful thing where everybody grows from scratch. And you win a championship is together, actually kind of like the Warriors did
right.
the first time around. Like, that's what they all want.
Right.
That's not reality most of the time.
Right.
But I think Dan has that desire. Now, do I think that he has the patience for that? Well, that's a different conversation.
We're about to find out.
Let's talk about the late moves the Lakers made. The night's not over, but shortly after.
I mean, really, anything could happen. Given the last 2 hours as these reports have streamed in, I'm ready for anything else.
They've agreed to contracts with four guys tonight. LeBron, okay, big wow. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which I'm okay with, and then I heard it was $12 million, which I know he made $18 million last year. And it's not even a comment on him. It's a comment on the market of where it's at right now. I think $12 million is a little high, but okay. Let's say he would got 10.
Is that the clutch sports tax as well?
Maybe. Okay. All right. I'm fine with it, but I was like, hmm.
Okay.
Then they signed Lance Stephenson.
Oh, boy.
For $4.5 million.
Okay. Yeah. I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
Why $4.5 million? She said.
No freaking idea.
Who were they competing with? She said.
No freaking idea. I think Lance to play for the Lakers.
Would he have given them $4 million?
I think a minimum would have been perfectly acceptable.
That's why you sign people like Lance Stephenson, right? Because they cost minimum, not because they cost actual monies. And that's the fun. And even antics aside, right?
He just hasn't played that well when he's been away from the Pacers.
Even playing well for the Pacers, we're talking about a guy who shot less than 30% from three last year. So, not a good on paper fit. Now, we can talk about the LeBron bump. He'll play better, play
more space
alongside LeBron and more space. But there's that part of the equation, right? Just strictly numbers-wise, doesn't seem to have the ideal skill set, right, to play alongside LeBron. But then there's the other part, the comments that were made kind of after the finals that LeBron wanted to seek more mature basketball mind.
He said it on the podium. Right? Didn't he say on the podium twice?
I'm trying to clean it up because I don't want to seem harsh or insensitive, but I just don't understand how two out of your first three non-LeBron signings are him, Lance Stephenson, and then JaVale McGee. I mean, that's just, that seems to be, there's a point, look, the Lakers have a very nice young nucleus. I like them. But there's a point where I sit back and I say, absent any other trades or other stuff down the line, you're introducing LeBron, who wants some maturity around him, to Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, rapping Lonzo Ball, and his father, roast comedian Kyle Kuzma.
I like Kyle, but they do mess around with their kids.
I'm just saying.
I think LeBron's not like Kyle Kuzma.
This isn't a referendum on their basketball playing ability.
If he ever gets to play with
them. Exactly. Because for a good reason, yeah. But it is just a question about LeBron is going to be 33 at the end of this year, right? Or excuse me, 34. He's 39. He's going to be 34 at the end of this December. How much patience is he going to have for this is a circus locker room? Basketball aside, those personalities and the people who surround them, it's a circus environment.
I'll do one more question deeper on that one. So the line from people around LeBron for the past few days when pressed on, do you really need Paul George or Kawhi to come here, has been, well, he has confidence in the Lakers as an organization, right? He has confidence in their ability to build a team. You, Brian, have said on TV a bunch of times, well, we haven't really seen Magic and Rob build a team yet,
right,
but he's giving them their faith to do it.
He's also counting on himself as a drawing card, but...
So, I could be wrong. I would imagine none of these moves they made after signing LeBron today or announcing LeBron today were made without telling LeBron first. That's my guess.
I kind of feel like Lance is actually one of those ones that...
Lance almost played with the Cavs last year.
I feel like
two years ago.
Remember how Kobe loved the idea of Matt Barnes?
Yeah.
I feel like LeBron's the same way. He loves the idea of Lance Stephenson.
But here's my larger question is, if you're LeBron and you've said, no, you don't need Paul George or Kawhi right now because I have so much faith in your ability to build a team around me, and then this is the next three moves made, how do you feel? And I'm actually asking. I don't know the answer to that.
I feel okay with Caldwell Pope.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with the amount of money, but I'm not going to go crazy. But I would say that A+ for getting LeBron and C- on the rest of the evening. By the way, I actually think JaVale,
I'm telling you,
he does some things that are good, but you can't count on him.
He is the utmost luxury of luxuries. If he's a necessity, you are in trouble. Because
I say the same thing about JR.
Yeah. I would, in a weird way, I know it's going to sound silly given the events of the finals, I trust JR way more to give me 30 minutes a night. JaVale McGee is not a 30-minute or even a 24-minute or even a every game play type player. He's a guy, we talked about it. If you look at a lot of his game flows, not just the raw plus minus, but what happens when he's actually on the court in these stints? By and large, it is a zero impact. His impact came, at least for Golden State, in bursts of energy / a weird intangible joy he brought his teammates, not intentionally. So remember the play where he missed the dunk? Wide open.
I'll never forget it.
You look at the Warriors bench. Roaring with laughter. It picked their spirits up that he was just a complete klutz on the play. That doesn't work on 29 other teams because they don't have the luxury to give minutes to a guy to go klutz it up so that KD and the boys can feel better and loosen up. Like that's not a need for most teams. Like, hey, my superstars are too tight. Can we get some clown action, some court jester? And so the idea that you go out and get him so quickly, right? Snap him up before the Warriors lock him up to another.
JaVale McGee on July 1st signing.
Jeez, I mean, and also it kind of goes back to, like, what are the comps out there? Dwight Howard brings his own set of baggage. Nerlens Noel brings his own set of baggage. Who are the other springy bigs? Because there are not that many of them out there. So I kind of get it. It's just, I mean, look, I told Rachel as soon as the JaVale story broke, I said, we're going to be at every single Lakers game. We're across the street. I'm going to be, and it's not for LeBron. I just want to see the circus. I'm
by
rooting
by the way,
for
he didn't
circus.
Say that after LeBron announced.
No.
He said that after
JaVale and Lance Stevenson. Lance Stevenson made my eyes light up, and JaVale was like, well, clearly.
There was a, and this, it seems so long ago, we've seen so much stuff happen. That Pacers-Cavs series was an amazing series. LeBron had a couple of 40-point games. LeBron hit a buzzer
this year, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And Lance had his moments.
He did.
He did.
And there was a moment in game six. And yeah, they benched him.
In the
second half of game seven, Nate McMillan was like, "Just Lance, go away." Like he's like, "I can't play you in this moment." But in game six, Lance had some great moments, including a moment where he flopped and got LeBron called for it.
Was that the held ball situation? Was that game six or when was that?
I just remember Lance laying on his back, getting LeBron called for a flop.
Yes, but I think that was the same game because they sat him and then he came back in like a 30-second stretch at the end of the game and had three ridiculous, only Lance Stevenson can make these kind of plays happen by just being a general nuisance and irritant. Again, like JaVale McGee, to a lesser extent like J.R. Smith, they have a knack for making things happen, right? Just setting off a bomb in the middle of the – and then that just throws body parts everywhere, and now we got to do something, right? But – and I guess I'm giving them too much credit. Maybe they're not going to play enough.
That's literally the next question out of my mouth. How much do you think these guys are going to play?
I just
– well, JaVale is a sort of a situational player.
I just don't – I guess what I'm saying is given the level of – maturity issues in that locker room already. I don't know how you introduce those two in there.
Let me just say this. Let's say they re-sign, because they still have the rights and the cap hole for Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. Let's say they re-sign him. I think they're probably going to try to get him to take a one-year deal. I mean, there's not much
money
out there
left,
for him. I mean, Sacramento and Atlanta haven't, Chicago haven't played their cards, but I don't necessarily see a fit there.
Atlanta's not looking to spend. Chicago... So,
let's say they just re-sign Julius Randle, and that's sort of the bulk of their team. Julius Randle doesn't shoot from perimeter either.
No.
Maybe they bring back...
Channing Frye?
Oh, Channing Frye is a good name.
Yeah.
I know, Rachel, we talked about it earlier.
It's like the last 4 hours didn't exist for you.
This is for the audience. I actually forgot about Channing Frye. Did you say it on air tonight?
Yes.
Was that on air? I thought it was off.
Both.
Okay. Well, it counts, ladies and gentlemen.
This is like the stereotype of the woman says something in the board meeting and no one listens and then the man repeats it. Oh, that's fantastic.
Good idea.
Channing Frye. Who would have thought of that?
Capital idea. Nancy, take some notes.
Right, exactly. Amazing.
Okay, Rachel, good idea on Channing Frye.
I mean, by the way, this is not a genius idea. I'm just saying.
He
not
was
the first
on the Lakers.
Time.
Right.
You know what? I would have been a lot more.
Channing Frye for his shooting, obviously, for sort of to have a mature.
An actual mature adult. Which,
the
by the
room.
Way,
somebody,
there's a part of me that Channing Frye adult. I still can't
look,
come to
grips. He's got
I
a great know, sense of humor, and
he is absolutely
but he is a
mature.
Up. He is 100% a grown
all
up.
All I'm saying is I speak as someone who knew a
yes.
time when he wasn't an
was
adult.
Was not a grown up.
And so,
by the way, Luke Walton, and speaking of former Arizona guys, Luke Walton and LeBron were drafted in the same year. And
I remember going to one of my first assignments as a beat writer of the Cavs was going to the pre-draft camp to interview LeBron because he was going there to get his measurements and everything. Watching the games and looking at Luke Walton,
so
being
he
like,
could play.
"Boy, he would be really good for this team." They ended up drafting Jason Capono instead.
Who, by the way, claimed that if his last name was Kaponovich, he would have been a top five pick.
Back then, Peja was a top five player.
Here's my question before I part with you guys for the evening. And this is where Channing Frye comes in as well. Another reason why I thought Channing Frye was worth retaining for this Lakers team in one way or the other, and I don't know if they had to renounce him and then re-sign him.
They will.
Is this decision feels great, I'm sure, to LeBron James for a lot of reasons right now, in July. For all the big ideas that matter and the long-term ideas and all the things that he wants and his family wants. The reality of what this team might be in February in some city in the middle of America where it's cold and they have a 30-30 record or whatever it is in February and Lonzo has just done something, or LeVar has just done something, and some Lance, I guess now we can add in, or JaVale has just done something. I think having Channing there to go to dinner with and to sort of be with and confide in would make a big difference to LeBron's sanity. But beyond that, whether Channing's there or not, how do you guys think LeBron is going to deal with a team that might not be what he expects in a tough Western Conference? And yes, the big idea of, hey, this is for the future and not this year is great and probably the right idea.
You still
it may end up being the right idea. Maybe next summer they get someone great, but you still have to go through this year.
Exactly. It doesn't make it a bad idea because it's actually hard.
Right. And what do you guys think, if the roster doesn't change significantly from what we see tonight, what do you think it's going to be like for LeBron in the dead of winter or before the All-Star break or after the All-Star break, staring down the barrel of a first-round playoff exit? And I think he knows the time is coming pretty soon and could have come in Cleveland this year or certainly next year where he wouldn't be making his X straight finals appearance, but actually facing that reality. What do you think it's going to feel
like
for him?
That's somebody who knows LeBron James who's asking that question. Because I think he is going into a world – He's always talked about how there's nothing I can't see. Guess what?
Yep.
And he's also going to be going into a schedule where it's
travel going to be so different.
I'm not even worried about travel. That's a factor for sure. In Miami, it's almost like being on the Western Conference because it's so far away. But it's Pelicans Tuesday, Nuggets Thursday.
Minnesota.
Well, I'm not talking about travel. I'm talking about the competition.
Oh, no. Oh, we went through this. You look up and down the Western Conference. And as far as your Western Conference schedule, there is one gimme opponent, Sacramento. Every other team is going to be – you're going to have to actually play, focus, game plan.
The Western Conference is going to be like
14 out of 15
NBA
teams.
In the 60s.
No, it is ridiculous because, look – Memphis, laughingstock, guess what? Conley and Gasol are healthy again. I'm not saying they're championship caliber. I'm just saying that's not a W.
It didn't make the jump.
That's not a that's not an automatic W. DeAndre Jordan at Dallas, that's not an automatic W. Trevor Ariza at Phoenix, that's not an automatic W anymore. Clippers.
DeAndre Ayton,
you know. And all of these teams have gotten significantly better. I'm not here to say that the Lakers are worse than these teams. I'm just saying that for everyone. This applies to the Rockets, to the Warriors, to everybody. Every night in the Western Conference, you have to care. You don't have the luxury of they had this past year. Got the Suns tonight. All right, Scottsdale. I've got a table at
You got less teams
XYZ.
Tanking this next season.
I mean, look, LeBron just came off a team that finished fourth in the East. He's really, really good. He turns teams into contenders. This isn't a top four team in the West right now. Is it a top six team in the West?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I as of today, Houston, Golden State, Utah, and then it gets murky. Then I think when you say New Orleans, Portland, Minnesota, Denver, L.A., these are all just – we're all jostling, right? And chemistry counts and coaching counts and health counts and all those things can go any which way. In a playoff series, LeBron over everybody except Houston and Golden State for me today in a playoff series. But just in terms of seeding – he's top six. They're top six. They'll miss those other teams.
And by the way, the young kids that the Lakers have that weren't involved in today,
mm-hmm.
he'll be good with Ingram.
And
he'll
Hart.
Be good with Kuzma. He'll be good with Hart.
Yeah. Lonzo?
I like Lonzo as a player.
I like Lonzo as a player, too.
I just wish he could shoot.
I think there will be things about playing with Lonzo he will actually really like. Lonzo's vision he will like.
He's a smart player.
I was going to say, some of the things Lonzo does around the floor, I think he will actually appreciate and enhance. But Lonzo's got to learn to shoot better. I mean, he's got to learn to shoot better. And by the way, he'll be playing next to LeBron, who never shot as poorly as Lonzo shoots now, mm-hmm. but certainly made leaps and bounds with how he shoots over the course of his career. So if Lonzo wants a model of how to do it, he's going to have it right next to him. again, assuming they ended up actually playing together. This is where I will leave you, gentlemen.
All right, well, we will talk about this a lot. Thank you for listening to the Hope Left the podcast. This emergency edition. The other edition's coming this week, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Regular edition.
Thank you, Andrew Hahn.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Amin.
Thank you, everyone.